Hello, everyone. My name is Adelia Volkanov, and I'm here in person again with my friend and co-host, Colin Bones. This is episode 61 of Ron and Hermione Minus the Romance, and we will be diving into chapter 34 from Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Last episode, I won trivia, and I'll give you the question of the day after a few disclaimers.
We'd like to first and foremost disclaim that we on Ron and Hermione Minus the Romance do not agree with or support J.K. Rowling's bigotry and prejudice in any way. We do not tolerate hatred of any kind and wish to create an open, safe environment on our podcast. Everyone is welcome and encouraged to listen here. This is your major spoiler warning. If you do not wish to hear anything beyond this point in the Harry Potter books discussed, this is not the podcast for you. We will be discussing and heavily referencing all media in the Harry Potter magical universe in every episode, so if this is your first encounter with the Harry Potter world, you have been forewarned. Now, if you're still here, enjoy the show!
I'm gonna say, if you could visit one of the rooms that were described in the Department of Mysteries, which one would you visit?
Well, immediately, the one that's locked.
Yeah, no, because Dumbledore says later that in it is, like, something more powerful and terrible than death or something, and
oh,
I'm like...
Oh my god, it makes sense, because have we talked about the theory of that, like, all the different rooms are, like, things that, like, humanity doesn't truly understand.
Yeah,
so it's, like,
one is
the
time.
Mind, the space, and so
and one is time.
People think the locked room is love.
Oh.
Which is something more powerful than death, as we know.
Yeah.
And it, depending on what they're doing in there, it makes sense that the kids could not get in.
Huh. That's interesting, actually. That's a good theory.
Yeah.
I usually hate them, like, theories. but, yeah, no, that's actually really interesting.
That's. I mean, it's an interesting theory, but, like,
no,
what
makes
are
sense
they
because
doing in there?
the room with the dais, I don't know how to say that, the archway, is, like, death.
Yeah, that's the death room.
And then
there's another great theory,
and then
with that too,
what?
That's like an execution room that they used to use in the ministry. Is why there's like audience
like
seats.
The benches,
yeah.
And then there's time, because that's why the Death Eater's head like is like reverted
right.
into a baby and back. And even Hermione said, and the time turners are in there because they fall off the shelf,
yep.
Shatter, repair themselves, and then go back up.
Which was supposed to be the end of that, but
right, but they repaired
cursed
themselves.
Child.
Like,
yeah. No, I mean, it was supposed to be the end of the Time Turners in the
oh,
series.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, that's really interesting. I think the time one would be interesting, but also the space room. I don't think they were
yeah.
ever in that.
Well, we don't get to see
exactly, that's what I meant. Like, we never got to, like...
blows up Pluto.
Yeah. I wonder what effect that had
no,
on
what
the
if,
world.
What if Luna genuinely blew up Pluto? Like, what if in the Harry Potter universe there's no Pluto anymore?
Yeah,
like,
and
all
muggles
the muggles
are just
like yeah. So apparently, scientists have discovered Pluto is gone.
That's, oh my god, yeah. I mean, you never know. yeah. Well, Colin's doing plot notes, so...
Yep.
Go ahead.
Okay. Chapter 34. The Department of Mysteries. Buckle in. So, Ron and Hermione have no idea how to get on the Thestrals, but they can, because they can literally not see them, which is terrifying. but they eventually situate themselves. So, they sit off for the Ministry of Magic, which, if you don't listen to the Goblet of Rhyme podcast, you won't know the hilarious fact that these Thestrals would have to be going at, like, over 100 miles an hour to be getting to the ministry in an appropriate amount of time.
Okay, Thestrals are so interesting, and I wish, like, this was not basically the only time that they're mentioned. Are
yeah.
they mentioned ever in the other books, like, for more than a second? Like, we don't see them again,
so.
I don't think.
Maybe
like, they're so interesting.
They're mentioned in, like,
the
mentioned,
Battle of Hogwarts. But, like, yeah.
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 This is very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Harry does his little, you know, you guys don't have to be there. You guys don't have to be here. I'm the chosen one. This is all about me. You know, like, and they're like, Harry, shut up. You've already decided. And they go into the ministry entrance. And they get badges that say rescue mission on
That's
them.
So
which
funny.
Makes me so upset because it's the It would be the best piece of merch ever.
Okay, I think it's hilarious that they got those, and I wonder if they wore them. Like, did they, like...
Yes, they did. They pinned them on them.
That's so funny.
They passed them out.
I cannot imagine them running around having this whole battle wearing a badge that says rescue mission. That is so
funny. I'm sure they
funny.
Fell off at some point.
Right. Or someone is like, this is dumb. And it's like...
I would have liked if they threw... Like, as a last resort, they just threw it at a Death Eater. Yeah.
Oh my god.
But like, that would have been the perfect thing for the movies.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a good moment. Everyone's so panicked. Like, what are we about to see? And they're just silent.
And then
just
all are huddled together in, like, a telephone booth.
Yeah, and then it's just silent. And then it would be such a good, because, like, that's like a tiny, one of those little, like, moments of levity where you're kind of like, this is, like, a horrible situation, but that's hilarious. That would have been so good in the movie.
This entire Department of Mystery Battle should have been just copy paste into the movie.
Literally. I was so surprised. It's so short in the book.
Right.
I expected it to be like chapter. No,
it's so
short.
But it's
so
one of my favorite book endings.
It's so
out of
good.
All of them. And you know what? It's even more frustrating because this is the point where J.K. Rowling is writing for things to be in the movies at this point.
Yes.
Like, they've already started coming out.
Yeah.
So these are purposefully basically set that they will be in a visual medium at some point. So
if I were her, I literally would not have okayed a single movie unless it was, like, exactly what I wanted. It's like, no. Let's just remake them. You and me playing all of the parts.
Exactly.
Show them how it's done.
So they head in to the Department of Mysteries, and they enter a room with a bunch of different doors that all rotate, so they have no idea where they are going or where they came from.
Yeah.
Hermione marks them with, like, an X thing, which is so convenient, and I don't think is ever brought up before or after.
She's so cute.
Okay.
Hi.
Adelia gets distracted by
You're
a cat,
so
which has to happen every episode for it to truly be an episode of the
Take
podcast.
Take a picture.
Are you serious? Jeez.
She's so cute.
Jeez.
You're so cute. Lay down.
Okay, are you done?
Yep.
Okay. Jeez, my dog's reloaded.
I thought you said my dog's.
Ew, what? No, my Google Doc with my notes on it refreshed, and now I scroll all the way back down.
Oh my god, you're so cute.
Oh my god. Cats are a mistake with you.
Someone told me recently, they're like, I feel like when you see a cat, your whole mind goes blank.
Ooh.
Oh, you're so cute. You're so cute.
So Harry tries one random door, and it's the brain room. Where
I think it's so funny, because before, of course, I knew the theory about, like, each room is, like, something the ministry, like, or, like, the people, like, don't understand. I literally wrote, why does the ministry need a room full of brains?
And with tentacles. See, that's the part where, like, why is that necessary?
Maybe wizard brains have tentacles.
Right. I would love to learn about that. I want to know so much more about the Department of Mysteries. I know that's kind of the point.
Uh-huh.
But, like, everything intrigues me.
Okay, if I was going to work for the ministry, I would...
This episode is brought to you by the Big Red Button Podcast.
Do you know what you'd do in a nuclear apocalypse?
Because we sure as quack don't.
See how our choices get us into trouble and back out again in this actual play podcast.
Big Red Button is for lovers of the Fallout franchise, choose your own adventures, and tabletop role-playing games rolled into one big audio drama.
Our band of stragglers is unraveling a mystery in the wasteland, and we're at the mercy of the roll of the dice.
So grab your Geiger counters, take your rat away, and subscribe to our new show, The Big Red Button.
Totally be an unspeakable. Like, yeah, I want to know what's in there. I'm way too nosy to, like, work in any other department. You're so cute.
Okay, so yeah, the room is full of brains in tubes.
Woohoo!
Then they try another room, and that is the veil room, which is very ominous. And there is a veil.
Okay. Sorry. No, I'm sorry. Go on. I'm going to say it after you finish.
Okay. And there is a veil that seems to be calling to Harry and Luna. I have a point. Yeah.
Okay. I just, like, obviously, I feel like something like with death, like, has to do with them being able to hear it, them having witnessed it.
Yes.
Of, and that ties into Thestrals and all of that. I just, like, I think that's so interesting that it specifically is, like, I don't think it said Harry's name, did it? But he just, like, he's, like,
there,
a, he,
no,
like,
there's,
can't.
Like, voices calling him.
Right, yeah. Right, I know that, like, the voices, I just couldn't remember if they, like, literally said his name,
yeah,
or not. But, I just think that's so interesting. Like, I wonder if it's, like, I don't even know. Like, something
See,
about having witnessed death and, like, the veil knows it and
but
wants
it's,
more.
I think it's different than the Thestrals because it's not described that Neville has really any reaction to
right.
it. And Neville saw his grandfather die.
Yes.
But I think it's different because I think it... With the veil, it has to do with some kind of connection to the death more,
uh-huh.
because we don't know how close Neville was with his grandfather, but, like,
right.
Harry and Luna, they probably
Their
think
parents.
About those deaths every single day.
Yes.
So I think it's, like, death clinging onto them in a way.
Yeah,
you know?
That's so interesting, too, that it's, like, calling to them, because I wonder, it's, like, they like, they say, like, it's even in the tale of, like, the three brothers in the seventh book, that, like, death is greedy, and
yes.
it's, like, hungry. So it's, I wonder if, like, they, like, death, the veil, knows in some way, is conscious enough to, like, understand that, like, how much, like, in a way, like, they miss the people that they know that
right.
have died, and it's, like, calling to them in a way, because, like, they're, like, Harry is
and there's
especially...
also, like, what if, it very well could be real.
Yeah.
You know, like, those people could...
Like, Harry is so, like, transfixed by it, I think, that in a way, it's, like, it's a literal, like, if he was alone, who knows if he would have tried to touch it and
right.
died. So it's, like, I think it's something that, like, in some way, the veil is, like, conscious and like and whether those voices are real or if it's like the veil like fabricating something
it's
to try
really
and lure
so
Harry.
Interesting because like even like not to get into what's gonna happen with Sirius
right.
and everything but I find it much more interesting that in the book it is specifically a stunning spell that hits Sirius and then he falls through the veil and then we never see him again but in the movie it's the killing curse.
See the thing is it's not specified. She tries stunning him, he deflects, and then it just says, her second spell hit him squarely in the chest.
Okay.
So it's not, it's assumed that it's the killing curse, but all we know is that he deflected, and he's gloating, and the next one, he's open, and it hits him squarely
they've,
in the chest.
They've said, though, that you cannot deflect the killing curse.
I think...
But it's also, like, I don't understand
I why
the Death Eaters
him,
aren't
we
going
can, like,
for the kill immediately.
Yeah, we can go into this, like,
We'll
more
go
in depth
into
when
this.
It happens,
yes.
but I mean, like, I'm trying to, I'm gonna find it for myself. What chapter is this? 34. Oh, yikes. I was looking at 31. Oops. Yeah, also, this is another moment where Hermione's like, no one's talking, Harry, don't be crazy. Like, girl, you clearly are not in touch with a lot of things that Harry is. Should I read this now, or should I wait until, like, it actually
You can
happens?
Wait.
Okay, great.
Well... Stay tuned
yeah.
for next episode.
Yeah, to see if it's, just so that I remember, to
yes.
see if it specifies whether, like, what the two curses were that Sirius
right.
deflected and eventually was hit with.
So they leave the death room
yep.
because they're like,
yikes.
We need to get out of here before
it's
they
interesting,
do
though, because, like, Hermione and Ron can kind of feel it, that something's wrong
right.
with the room, but they don't, they're not being
Harry,
called to.
Hermione and Ron must... Like, something in the back of their brain must always be thinking, like, am I friends with crazy people? Because it's always something, you know?
Yeah.
So they try to go into the next room, which is locked, which I guess means it's the sex room. I don't know. And they try to use
I don't know
knife.
If I think it's something like that, because...
What do you think love would be?
But the thing is that sex doesn't have to equal love, or vice versa. Like, to have...
Yeah,
to do that with someone does not mean that you love them or for,
mm-hmm.
like, whatever. Or, like, that you love them doesn't mean that you have to. So it's, like, I feel
what
like...
What do you think a room, a love room would be?
But the thing is, like, I don't know. Because the way it's described is, like, obviously very, like, poetic, I guess, in a way. And the blade melts. Whether that's from the actual, like, spell to keep people out of the room, to keep it locked. Because it says it's kept locked at all times. So it's, like... I wonder if in some weird magical way, like, the literal essence, the emotion, is captured somehow in that room. Like, I don't think it's, like, people in there, like, being in love or something like that. Like,
yeah.
I think, like, to me, the way that that has always read is that it's, like, some kind of essence or emotion that's just in there. Like, that whether that's magically possible or not, like, we're magic, but, yeah. like, for me, the way that that, like, reads is, like, it's not, like, a room like the others, a space room where you're seeing a planet, the brain room where there are little brains in tanks, and or something like that, or time with the big clock. Like, I feel like it, to me, especially the way that love is described in these books, as, like, a real and powerful force, just like magic, it feels like they have captured it in some way and locked it in this room that never opens.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting? I feel like the love in the death room would be, like, kind of intertwined. Because I think
maybe
that
that's why Harry is called
to it. That's kind of how you test love, you know,
mm-hmm.
is that in the absence of that person, is there still something there?
Yes. Because people say that grief is just, like love, with, like, nowhere to
love
go.
Persevering. Are you quoting WandaVision right now?
No. I've heard, like, actual people say, like, grief is, like, love with nowhere to go.
Yeah.
But, like, maybe that's why, like, love or whatever, is why Harry is called to the Veil. Because the people that he and Luna have lost in their lives are people that they have loved very deeply. And, like, I'm sure Neville can hear the voices, but obviously he loved his grandfather. But, like, Harry and Luna's situation, I think, is entirely different. And Neville has also, in a way, lost his parents. And maybe it's worse because he sees them and he can never have a real, like, relationship
right.
with them. But, like, maybe Harry especially. Like, Luna hears it. But she's not, it doesn't seem, like, so drawn to it that, like, she, like, can't, like, think. Like,
right.
Harry is, like, really, like, can't, has to pull himself away. And I think maybe that's because Luna, of course, loved her mother deeply, but she had some time with her. She died
right.
when Luna was 9. She developed a relationship with her.
She
has memories of her.
She had more time to recover.
That, and Harry was never taught how to recover from his parents. He's
right.
been told his whole life, God, you look like James. God, you have Lily's eyes. God, I miss them. From Sirius and Lupin, or, you know, you are their legacy, like personified, or all of these wonderful things about his parents, but they have never sat down and said, Harry, do you want to talk about your parents? Like, how are you doing? Like, no one has ever, I guess, checked in on that grieving process. Harry doesn't remember, really, his parents' death. He doesn't remember his life with them. Luna had time, not enough time, of course, to develop a relationship with her mother. She has memories of her. She, you know, and of course, like, her father was there with her to aid her in this grieving process, you know? Like,
yeah.
She, the way she talks about her mother's death is so casual, not, like, uncaring, but casual because she's healed as much as you can heal from something like that. She had another parent that loved her to support her. Harry was left to grieve a life that he doesn't remember, and he's obsessed with it. Not, like, in an, I guess you could say it is unhealthy, but, like, he's obsessed with it, with his parents, and with knowing more. Every time they're mentioned, he just can't, he can't, like, stop listening. Like, he needs
yeah.
more, because he was never talked to. Like, if Vernon and Petunia had raised him with stories of his parents, and, like, Lily's childhood, and, like, what only Petunia could give him, but they didn't. And so Harry's left with this huge, like, gaping hole that there's obviously no way to fix, because you can't recover like that from the loss of a parent. But it's, like, the fact that he never really got to know them, and he was never, like, no one ever asked him if he wanted to know more, how he was doing, like, what do you think when you think of your parents? Like, he
yeah.
was never, like, no one opened up to him like that, or asked him to open up to them. So I think that the Veil calls to him so much, maybe, because, in a way, love and death are intertwined.
Yeah.
And the Veil is calling to him in the name of love, though it represents death.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because, like, obviously he loves his parents, like, deeply, and because, even though he never met them, or he did, but he doesn't remember his life, like, with them. But I think that might be it. Like, he literally cannot tear himself away from the Veil, because, in a way, being obsessed with knowing his parents, he's obsessed with death and how to reverse it in a lot of ways. He's thought about it, like, in the books. So it's, like, I think that's true, which I think is why the love room isn't something simple like the others.
Well,
it has to be, I guess,
yeah.
maybe intertwined with death. That if you, like, if it is, as I think, like, not, like, really think, that's not, like, my theory, that it literally somehow they captured the essence or the emotion of love. I think somehow opening that door, unlocking it, feeling the full force of it might kill you.
Mm.
I think that's the implication, I guess, maybe.
Okay.
That they're both kind of intertwined with
yeah.
each other.
I was joking when I said the sex room.
Oh,
right?
I know.
But
I know what
no,
you're
but
saying.
I'm saying.
I know that you
that
don't
like,
actually think there are two people in there having sex for the rest of eternity.
Right, but I'm also saying that, like, if this is truly, like, the ministry testing out, like, what love is and mm-hmm. why it's what it yeah. truly is, I think sex would naturally also be something they
sure because
want to
in a lot of
on,
ways, like,
which
that's...
is why I think that the door would be locked.
Mm-hmm.
And I, well, we don't know if any of the adults could get through, so it's a bit presumptuous to assume that it's because they're children. But, you know, I
think that no one can get through unless you're an unspeakable, or maybe even they can't. Maybe it just got to the point where it's just locked, because Dumbledore says mm-hmm. it's kept locked at all times,
yeah.
which means that...
So, like, okay, this is so funny. How is there so many different degrees of locking in Harry Potter?
I think about that all the time.
There's just the normal lock that you can do with Lohomora, and then there's a special one that does not go through Lohomora.
Uh-huh.
And then apparently there's a knife that... is also, can apparently go through doors that have the charm that blocks Lohomora, right? Like,
yeah.
that's the point. But that doesn't even work on this one. It melts the knife.
Yeah.
So there's another level of enchantment you can cast on a door.
Yeah.
And there's also enchantments for doors that can only be opened by certain people, like at Gringotts.
Yeah. I have no idea. Honestly, though, like, I kind of do think that in some way, the, like, love room, if that is what it is, like,
yeah.
I think somehow it's just, like, a force.
Mm.
And I think because the veil is, like, it represents death, but, like, it's calling to Harry, like I said, like, because of love. So I think that the love room may be the force of love, but it's kept locked at all times because I think in some way it would kill you to feel
yeah.
all of it all at once. So... I don't know.
Interesting.
It just, I feel like it wasn't meant to be explained, that room that's kept locked. I feel
yeah.
like it was meant to be figurative because, like, it kind of just depends on the person. To some people, the archway, the veil, only represents death, and it's calling to Harry what, because he experienced it. Like, maybe that's it. Maybe for some people, like, those two things don't combine. But, like, I think it just depends.
You know, this is just me going on something completely different here. And, like, going off the idea that, like, these are mysteries that nobody really understands. I think that I'm just completely ditching the idea that it's love and saying that it's something different. I think it could also just be a room that is about uncertainty. Like,
yeah.
I think it could be, like, a Schrodinger's cat situation
mm-hmm.
because it's locked.
Mm-hmm.
So is there really a room or anything? Is there anything in there? And I
yeah.
think that's a mystery in itself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so the next door they open, Harry instantly recognizes as it's the room he saw in his dream, which is the prophecies, which would then be, in this case, the mystery of the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he finds row 97, and the row in his dream, this is the row in his dream where Sirius was. Okay, that's when they spot, well, Ron spots a glowing orb that has Harry's name on it. And I love the little detail of it being engraved on it is SPT2APWBD, which stands for Sybil Patricia. Her middle name is Patricia.
I know, I looked
Trelawney to Albus Percival Wulfric Brian Dumbledore. That's so cool.
I know.
I wonder if this room is actually public knowledge, because how are prophecies getting stored here? Because, like, I kind of, like, maybe I'm just interpreting it this wrong, but I kind of thought that, like, Dumbledore told them. Like, he made a copy himself, and then he gave it to the ministry, being like, this is a prophecy. But, like, do they magically appear in there when prophecies are told? And
I wonder.
Are prophecies, do they have to be told to somebody? Or are there just seers who are alone sometimes who are telling prophecies that never get told? Or is it... prophecies go to the person that needs to know it.
I feel like that goes back to Dumbledore's point that a prophecy means nothing if it isn't fulfilled. So I feel like because of, like, the nature of a prophecy, like, there has to be an instance where a seer is not conveniently with someone when
yeah.
a prophecy is given. So I feel like there must be, like, if Professor Trelawney had just been alone and had this and given this prophecy out to nothing, none of this would have ever happened, because the prophecy would have meant nothing had it not been fulfilled. Had
yeah.
Snape not walked in and heard it, nothing ever would have happened. Had Snape walked in and immediately thought of Neville, it would have meant nothing to Harry, I guess, unless he had found out about it at this point in time that Neville would be finding out about it. So it's like, I feel like prophecies are not like, because I feel like the way that Harry sees it at first is like a binding contract.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, like, I don't, it just, it was conceptually, like, it was difficult for him. But, like, Dumbledore had to keep reminding him, like, this would have meant nothing had Voldemort not chosen you. Because, oh, he got confused when Dumbledore said, it could have been Neville. And Harry was like, well, maybe it's not me. But he was like, but it is you, because he chose you. He chose you to be the one that fulfills his prophecy. And even then, it's not, I guess in that sense, you could argue that it is a binding contract and that one of them does have to kill the other because it's in the prophecy and because Voldemort chose Harry and marked him as his equal.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, it's all of this, it's like semantics. It's like, well, you could argue anything because it's a prophecy.
Yeah.
So I feel like there have to be prophecies floating around, no record of them, if a seer was alone. But then that brings back the question, do prophecies appear in the Hall of Prophecies?
Right.
Is there some kind of magic tied to a prophecy that, like, brings it there? Or are you, like,
because
I...
Because then what I'm saying is that, like,
seers
it
don't
wouldn't
remember.
Have to be public knowledge for people to report this to the ministry.
Right, but then at the same time, it's like, seers don't remember prophecies they give, so they themselves probably couldn't
walk
in.
Right, so it has to be the person that would have gotten the prophecy.
That would have heard
which
it,
would also mean that there are tons of prophecies that are never known by anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder if there is some kind of magic.
And but there's the other side of that is that if it, I feel like it has to be that they just magically appear there because I could not see Dumbledore giving that information to the ministry.
And I also don't think that it's possible that that room was public knowledge because nothing in the Department of Mysteries is supposed to be public knowledge. Like, yes, Dumbledore knows about the locked room, but, like, any given person is not supposed to know what's in there, generally speaking. So I'm assuming that there's some kind of magic. Seers have to have some kind of specialized magic within them, and that must connect with whatever is in the Hall of Prophecies, I think. Like, I think they have to show up there by themselves. Because what ministry worker is walking around collecting prophecies, inscribing the spheres, and, like, you know, so I feel like it has to be magic, I think.
Yeah. It also makes me wonder how the Department of Mysteries functioned under Voldemort's control.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a lot of power for the Death Eaters to have knowledge of, of basically all of these prophecies that are going to happen.
Yeah.
And it seems that Voldemort believes that all prophecies are going to come true, otherwise
Which,
he wouldn't have done this thing.
Could be a flaw of his as well.
Right.
Because, like, he does a lot of, like, generalizing in his lifespan. Like, I'm trying to think of the most common thing that I always say. I don't even know. But he's, like, he's very, like, oh, well, it almost kind of reminds me of the fallacy, the, like, I think it's the slippery slope. Well, it's like, well, if this is true, then this is true, then this is true, then this is true. So it's like, I think that he thinks that because he himself fulfilled a prophecy, if he had done nothing, like, he's so fragile that he felt so threatened by the idea of someone being marked as his equal that he went and did it himself.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, he's not, like, a very critical thinker. He's just kind of like a, oh, well, I'll show you. Like, you're not about to be marked as my equal, when he's not sitting there thinking, like, well, I just went and did it myself.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, obviously not all prophecies come to fruition, but it's like, he, like, I don't even know. It's like, I wonder, though, like, if unspeakables would rather, like, be killed than, or, like, are sworn some kind, or, like, swear some kind of oath to, like, die before they reveal the secrets of the Department of Mysteries.
Yeah. It's also, I feel like Voldemort is also such, like, a magic supremacist that I don't think he believed that there is anything anything magical that could be useless. Like, I couldn't imagine him thinking that prophecies are just mean nothing. Like, because he thinks magic is, like, the highest thing of all. Like, he doesn't, he would, if he was smart, he would have Death Eaters with BB guns. I don't know. Like, you know, that
have
would
them
be,
learn some, like, muggle things.
He would
like,
have shot
a taser.
Harry as a baby. Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been interesting for the wizard detectives. They'd be like, what the hell? But, yeah, I think that Yeah, he's... It's interesting, though, because, like, he's not an intelligent person by in a lot of ways. Like, he fulfilled Harry's prophecy. Nothing would have come of it. Like, if he would have thought, or, like, I don't know, he would have looked at that and been like, huh, well, if I do nothing, no baby is going to be marked as my equal, and then he probably would have won. He may have, you know? So it's like, if he had not been so insecure and so fragile and so, like, I don't know, so ready to dominate the world, he would not have gone and made Harry the chosen one.
Yeah.
Like, it's his fault that he ended up losing.
Okay, so there. We're back in row 97, right?
Yep.
So then they hear a sultry voice from behind them say, "Very good, Potter. Now turn around nice and slowly and give it to me."
I think that's the most suggestive thing we've said on here.
Right. Yep, and that's the end of the chapter.
Woohoo! Well, time for trivia!
Time for trivia!
Do you want to go first?
For sure. Ooh. Sorry, for the audience at home, that was my back breaking.
It sounded like a metal click.
Yeah.
That was called it.
Who is the first person to speak this chapter?
Harry?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was trying to think. I'm like, I know that Luna was like, look, Thestrals. And he was like, so I think.
No, it was actually.
That was last chapter. So
right.
I
but
felt
no,
like
they
this
were
chapter.
Getting on the Thestrals.
Yeah.
And Harry
was
like,
hello.
Why aren't you doing anything? Yeah.
Okay. Fill in the blanks. He closed his eyes and put his face down into the horse's silky mane as they burst through the blank branches of the trees and soared
Whoa.
Out into
the blanks.
Great, I'll read the first one again. He closed his eyes and put his face down into the horse's silky mane as they burst through the blank branches of the trees.
Rough?
No.
You
can guess one more time.
Yeah. unruly?
No, good guess though. He closed his eyes and put his face down into the horse's silky mane as they burst through the topmost branches of the trees and soared out into a blank sunset.
You and your damn sunsets.
I know.
Blue?
No.
Sunny?
sunny sunset. No. I always feel like I'm saying this wrong. He closed his eyes and put his face down into the horse's silky mane as they burst through the topmost branches of the trees and soared out into a bluttered or blood-red sunset. It's one word, like blood-red. I think it's bluttered. I think that's how you say that.
Okay.
Or blood-red. I might be totally wrong and just, like, embarrass myself. But it's okay.
Where does the water come from on the goblin statue in the fountain?
Is it the tip of his nose?
Nope.
I have a point. I'm not going to guess again.
You're done?
Yep, I'm done.
It's the tip of his hat.
Huh.
Yeah. Who knew goblins wore hats?
I did not. Who dialed the password at the ministry visitor's entrance?
Harry.
No.
Really? How does anyone else know? Then it's wrong.
Because Harry was like, someone dial the password in 62442 or 642. I don't know.
I just was thinking because Ron would be the only ever person I would think would know.
Oh, yeah. Harry just said it out loud.
Okay.
He couldn't reach. And Ron went, like, it said that Ron had to, like, twist around.
I mean, he's probably has lengthy arms.
True.
So
he's very tall.
Yep. They mention that in this chapter. It's
oh, yeah.
End.
When he's, like, looking at the prophecy and Harry's like,
oh, I didn't fully actually look up. Fill in the blank. Harry blank the number blank button. The blank closed with a bang. and the lift began to descend.
The grills closed with a bang?
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. Say the first two again. Wait, Harry... we read the whole thing with the one that I got.
Okay. Harry blank the number blank button. The grills closed with a bang, and the lift began to descend.
Harry blanked the blank
button. Harry blanked the number blank button.
What floor is the atrium on? Oh no, they're at the atrium. The Department of Mysteries is number 12?
Nope.
I'm not gonna guess again for the number, so you can tell me and I just won't get that point.
Okay, it's number 9.
So it's he blanked the
Harry blanked the number 9 button.
Okay. Blanked. He was really anxious. Punched?
Nope.
Not guessing.
It's really weird. Harry stabbed
the
number
sense.
9 button. yeah.
Yeah, okay. What is the
That's
spell?
That's 1 point though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the spell Hermione used to draw an X on the door?
I just talked about this, and I have no idea. Because it's, like, really... It's truly something they never talk about.
Can I tell you?
Yep.
Flagrate.
Flagrate.
Yep.
Sounds like it could sound like something bad if you skipped a letter. What does Luna think the brains are?
I'm trying to figure out what letter skip you're talking about. Sorry. What does Luna think...
Flagrates.
Oh! Okay.
Yep.
What does Luna think the brains are? Huh. Oh, it's one of those weird animals. It's not a Crumplehorn Snorkrat, because that would be too easy. They talk about this in the vicinity of this chapter, though. It's like a blibbering humminger.
No. Did you make that up, or is that actually
No,
something?
She actually says that at some point.
Sounds like something.
What is it?
It is... a Aquavarius maggots.
I never would have remembered that. I like vaguely remember it. But.
Yeah.
All right. When Harry and everyone else enter the prophecy room, what row were they at?
I really want to say one, but I don't think that's true. I'm trying to picture like. So that means that they're like. If I'm assuming it's not one, so that means like they're kind of in the middle. Is it one?
No.
Okay. Then I'm gonna say like 27.
No.
53. 53. Yep. Fill in the blank. In blank writing was written a date of some 16 years previously.
What are they doing when this happened? Oh, they're looking at the prophecy.
This prophecy's
in
label.
Blank handwriting. Delicate?
No.
I'm not going to guess that one again.
Spidery.
Oh. Okay, and will you read the whole thing so that I can figure out the next one?
That was it.
Oh, I thought you said another one.
No.
Oh, okay. You're going to get this one because you said it earlier and I was like, fuck. What is Professor Trelawney's middle initial?
Yay! It's Patricia!
Her middle initial.
Oh, P.
Yeah.
You really scared me.
Okay.
I guess that's fair. It technically did not say Patricia in the chapter, so that would have been weird.
I know, I was still going to give it to you, because I knew
yeah.
I just was like, that's not an initial. Okay, well, I won today 2-1. But, yeah, so thank you all for tuning into this episode of Ron and Hermione Minus the Romance. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at Ron and Hermione Minus the Romance, or on Twitter at Ron_HermioneMTR. Shoot us an email at VulcanOfBones@gmail. Oh, wait, wasn't there something... Never mind.
Okay.
And rate our podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We appreciate you all very much, and be sure to tune in next week where we will be covering chapter 35 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. I was going to say, wasn't there something specific we said to email us about the Sirius thing? whether it's, like, specified or what you think about, like, if he was hit with a stunning spell and then fell through the arch. Or
I don't remember saying that, but sure, email us about that.
Yeah, what do you guys think? You guys were there. You remember what we talked about. We don't. But, yeah, okay. Anyways, see you next time. Thank you.